going to be delivered to us this morning by Reverend Andre Beasley, a servant of God, a PK kid. He's going to already been to us several times before, and the Lord has blessed us enough to have him here with us once again. So without further ado, we hear Reverend Andre Beasley.
Amen. Good morning, and thank you, Reverend Clifford. I really appreciate that, my brother. I want to thank you guys once again for having me here. Pastor T.A., thank you for extending the opportunity to minister to the flock of God that God has entrusted to you. It's always an honor and privilege to be able to stand before God's people to share his word and just to share his holy word. I never take these opportunities for granted because God doesn't have to give us these opportunities to share the word, you know, but God chooses to use his people to communicate his message to his people. So I pray on today that you will find something from this sermon that will speak to you, that maybe will touch your heart or maybe enlighten you. Whatever God is choosing to use within this message, I pray that you will find, you know, a hope of encouragement through it as well. So the sermon on today is speaking upon Jesus makes God known. And we'll be coming from John chapter 18. So let me share my screen here. Amen. And let me minimize this window here. Amen. Pray that everyone could see the presentation with those who are viewing by video and those who are joining by audio. I will try to make sure I go at a nice pace so that you can understand. But we're going to let the Lord have his way on today. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to get into it. Okay, Son of Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for that opportunity, Lord God, to come before your people, Lord God, to share your message with them, Lord God, that you have placed upon my heart, Lord God, to share with them, Lord God. I pray through the pages of Scripture, Lord God, that they can see Jesus through it all, Lord God, and see how Jesus has made you known to mankind, Lord God, to all of us, oh Lord God, that he is the only one that can make you known, oh Lord. So I pray, God, that you would just hide me behind the veil, Lord God, that you will come forward and send it, Lord God. Use me, Lord God, for your glory and for your glory alone, Lord God, that it may edify your people, oh God. Encourage them, Lord God, but glorify you in the process, Lord God. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, as I mentioned before, the passage of Scripture we're going to be coming from is John chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to just read one verse of it. You guys can turn your page of Scripture to it. I have it upon the screen. For those who are listening from audio, you can turn to John chapter 1, verse 18. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Scripture. And the Word of God as it is written, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained God. Some translations say he is the one that had made God known. And, you know, for me, I really love this passage of Scripture. You know, I think the first time I heard this passage was in a Bible study class when Pastor Jane was teaching on just Jesus. Pastor Jane, he's a pastor of New Creation Bible Fellowship. And for me, this scripture really stuck with me. It really stuck with me here. And I hope that you will find the same in this message as well. And so, you know, I will start just a little creative intro, just trying to kind of make this scripture comes together here. See, in knowing God, before Christ was incarnated and came into this world, God made himself known to man through what we call general revelation, through created being, you know, through the creation of the world. We see the trees, the sky, the sun, the moon, the animals, things like that. As mankind, we can see God through his general revelation and his creation. And not being able to have a direct relationship with God because of sin, and that mankind come to know God through that limited knowledge of God, the revelation that God has revealed to man. If you ever read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, you know that scripture talks about how God has made himself known to mankind, for man to have an inkling of within his conscience There is a creator, that is God, and that see the creation that there is a God as well, and that it will lead them to him, and if they be able to receive him or to reject him. Yet we know that through mankind and their seeking of God, and if they come to a point of that they don't want to see God through the passage of scripture, you know, mankind choose to, you know, try to fashion to know God through their intellect, through their wisdom, through their experience, or through their philosophy, and try to make God in who they think God should be, and who they think God, how God relates to them, right? And so you see man, you know, throughout history, and you can begin to see man begin to create God and what they think he should look like. We can look at within the Old Testament, when or even with Egypt, you think of, go back to the time of Egypt, right, in historical Egypt, where that you see these graphics and picture of them creating their gods, you know, like a half man and half animal type of thing, right? And there were those who ruled over them. You know, you had those who believed in the sun god, you know, the moon god, and just a different variety of gods. And over the course of time, you begin to see people, you know, create religion, who they believe what God is, and who if God has spoken to them. I think in our world today, there's at least about 7,200 different type of religions in this world that man has created. You know, but there's only two that have the focus in creation, and that's Judaism and Christianity. And there is this is God, right? But with that being said, you know, we might know some people who have gone on their journey of trying to seek God outside of scripture and trying to find this God. They go on this journey of seeking. I remember having a coworker who, you know, who was, you know, we consider himself like a free spirit type of guy, right? And me and him had a discussion about God. He knew I was a Christian and so forth, so he wanted to have this dialogue. And he began to tell me his story of trying to find truth, trying to find God. And he said, man, I tried so many religions. I even tried Christianity. And he said there was something about Christianity that couldn't stick with me, because what he saw with those who supposedly have been people of God wasn't reflect what he thought was God. You know, he had so many barriers that was up, and so I began to explain different things to him. But for him, it was a discouragement to him. And so instead of seeking God through Christianity, he said, no, I'm just become who I am, a free spirit, love everyone, and whatnot. I heard words that he passed a couple years ago, didn't know that he'd come to a relationship with God, but based upon his memorial service, it seemed like he did. You know, he left this world without God. And this kind of leaves us with a great contention here, right? Where that we try to get unbelievers to seek God through us, which we should, but we also are to redirect people to see and know God through Jesus. Jesus is the only one who truly knows God, who is God, and who can make God known. And so here we begin to delve into this passage of scripture that John is talking about. Because when you look at chapter 1 to verse 1 through 17, John began to write to his readers who's going to receive this gospel and begin to explain who this Jesus is, how this Jesus existed, how Jesus came into this world, how they behold him, how he became flesh and dwelled among them. And even those who began to proclaim that this Jesus was going to come into this world, and how we are to receive him. When you read the particular passage, John is declaring this for someone who had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, who had became a believer of Jesus and a follower and disciple of him. So he's speaking from firsthand knowledge, and he's sharing it not only to the readers during that time period, to those of us now who have this scripture in front of us. So let's move forward and see how Jesus made God known, right? You know, mentioned first, we talked about how mankind chooses to seek God. But here, John said, no one has seen God at any time. He said, no one has seen God. And point 101 said, have anyone seen God? According to scripture, no one hasn't seen God. But if we look through the Old Testament, you would say, yeah, some people seen God, you know, they seen God in a manifestation. They seen God, you know. We think about Adam and Eve, we think about Moses, in his encountering with God, we think about Israel and their encounter with God. But no, no one has truly seen God. And when John speaks about this, he's not speaking about the manifestation of God, that God has revealed himself to people. He talks about the intrinsic nature of God, the God in his full divine nature and form. Just like how we see one another, no one had seen God like that. And so according to Exodus 33 and 30, it said no one has seen God face and live. So if we were to see God in his truly manifest state, in his true essence form, we will be able to behold him. We will be consumed by his presence. And so when God said in this in Exodus 33 and 30 said, no one has seen God's face. No one. You know, not even Adam and Eve, not even Israel, not even Moses. It was Moses on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights in the presence of God. All of them have seen a manifestation of God. You know, like the Shekinah glory of God. You know, it speaks when you see in with Israel when it was in the wilderness, right? And God will lead when they fled Egypt, but God had freed them from the bond of Egypt and they're on the way to the promised land. God led them by cloud by day and fire by night. They saw what we call a theophany, a visual manifestation of who God is. That's a bit of, not in its totality, but in a way that they can see and know that God is with us. God is in our presence. And so you see that whenever they pitched their tents and when they pitched the tent of meetings or the tabernacle, right? You see the cloud descend upon it. And that will be a reference of God's presence among his people. But yet the people didn't really see God in his full essence. And so they had a understanding of God through a manifestation. And also from the Spirit of God delivered him over and over again. And showing a sign, do signs and wonders. But not truly know the true divine and intimate God. No, they didn't see his full essence of who God is, right? And so that's just one thing that we as believers can see here, right? And since no one has seen God in his full manifestation in who he is, but there is one who has seen God. You know, the next part of the verse, it says that the only begotten, and I kind of like how John transitioned. He said, no one has seen God, but the only begotten God. In the NIV version of the text, it has a but here saying, but the one and only Son. And in the New Living Translation said, but the unique one who is himself God. And then in the New American Standard Translation, it said, and the only begotten God. Here we have is that, the point two is that, Jesus is the only begotten God. Speaking of his uniqueness, and begotten speaks of uniqueness of Christ as being the only one of his kind. The only one of his kind. Be unique in all his ways. There is no one like Christ. No one like him. In attributes, in his character, in actions, in knowledge, teaching, healing, deliverance. Is that anything? There is no one that can compare to Christ. And here's John pointed out by saying that he is this unique God. Saying that Jesus is God. And being that he is God, he is the only one who has seen God. In John chapter 6, verse 46 said, Not anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. And for those of us who are believers, we know this true and true, that Jesus came from the Father. You know, in John 3:16, he declared that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for us, to die for sin. That shows that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the only one we have seen God in his true nature, form, essence, and likeness. Well, because Jesus is God. He is that God. He is the one who can truly, truly make God known. Isn't it? Now think about it. There's no one here on earth, no greater preacher that you are, no matter how intimate a relationship you have with God. We can make God known to a certain degree. But what we know from the page of Scripture, from our relationship with Him, and our interaction with Him, and what He has done for us, but to truly know who God is, in His full essence and nature, that's existed in eternity before the creation of this world. No, we don't know that. Only Jesus knows that. And that is the beauty that we have in the relationship with Jesus. And then the second element of that, it says, not only that He's only begotten God, He also is in the bosom of the Father. That's awesome. Even the bosom of the Father. That kind of speaks of an intimate relationship that Jesus had with God. And point number three said, Jesus, that God and Jesus Christ are one. That they are one. And it speaks about this intimate relationship that Jesus had with God the Father in eternity. You know, just think about a relationship that, you know, we can only try to compare this to a husband and wife relationship in a sense, right? That the husband knows his wife, and his wife knows her husband, as they begin to grow in oneness with one another in marriage. We know that likes and dislikes, you know, we know what motivates them, what doesn't motivate them. We know what makes them happy, what doesn't make them happy, and so forth, right? You know, and so forth. So we begin to know one another through those intimate relationships, right? And likewise with Jesus, Jesus has this relationship with God. And it speaks, like I said, it speaks about the intimacy that you had in heaven in eternity. And when you read the passage of John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? It speaks of God, speaks of Jesus' relationship with Father, with the Father in eternity, before time was created, before earth was created, before mankind was created. They had this intimate relationship, one that was built on mutual love, mutual intimacy, and knowledge. All that God is, Jesus is. All that God is, that Jesus is. That He had in His Godhead, the Word that exists in eternity. And so in having this intimate relationship, that it reflects so much of what they have with one another, but also reflected what Jesus have with God, which is in the beauty of that, you know, that He had before in eternity. For us, we can only fathom from a distance of what that relationship looked like and what it entails and how it played out. You know, and still how it plays out today. We only has that. But here's a key point for us to remember. That Jesus and God are one. One in nature. One in essence. Meaning their intrinsic nature. The likeness, attributes, character, ability, power, and an eternality. They are the same. So when you see Jesus, you see God. There is no breaking off that Jesus only has, you know, a certain percent of the power of God. No, they all are one. They're all the one. And having that oneness with God, Jesus is the perfect example of one who knows God. One who can truly reveal God to mankind, to this world. He is the only one that can make God known. And here's the last portion of this text where it said, He has explained God. And it goes to our crucial point. Jesus made God known. He makes God known. Jesus being God, having oneness with God the Father in eternity, and being one in nature, essence, likeness, attribute, and character, ability, power, and etc. And go on and on and on and on. All of this result in Jesus being the only one who can make God fully known to mankind. He is the only one who can make God fully known to mankind. You know, there's a passage of scripture, and I think in Colossians, where it says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh here on earth. When you read John chapter 1, verse 14, it speaks about, he says here, is it, and the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the one, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the image of the invisible God. Speaking that Christ is the exact copy likeness of God, the perfect image, the exact likeness of God in a very form of God, from eternity until now. And even beyond that, he is that exact image of God. And so when we see Jesus, we see God. You guys get that? When we see Jesus, we see God. And that Jesus is the only one who's completely, perfectly portrayed God in detail, in narrative, in exegete, and the true nature of God. This is who Jesus is. And even in the passage of Scripture, Paul emphasized that Jesus is fully God in every way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And Jesus also professed the fullness of divine nature and attribute of God. Colossians 1:19. All that Jesus is, he represents God. He is God. And so if you really want to really show people who God is, we just pointed to Jesus. We just pointed to Jesus. That's how we came to know God, right? We came to know God through someone who told us, someone who told about Jesus, and also redirect us to Jesus. And for us to get to know Jesus for ourselves, we get to understand what he did for us on Calvary Cross. He died for our sins. And when we came in, and when we believed in him and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we begin to have this intimate relationship with him. And in this intimate relationship with him, we begin to know who he is as God, but also know God as well. We begin to see the many things that God has done for us through Jesus. And we begin to flip through the page, and we begin to see all the many works that Jesus has done. And this leads us to, you know, to the next thing here is that I'm going to give you three examples of how Jesus has revealed God to mankind. The first example is through his self-expression, that Jesus had revealed God. And in the self-expression that Jesus had revealed God, this speaks of how Jesus had conducted himself in his day-to-day life when he was walking here on earth, when mankind were able to see him. I mean, real mankind, people who lived the time in history, you know, during the time that Roman was governing over Israel. We see the Israelite engaging it with Christ. We begin to see how Christ dealt with them. How he was able to live among them on earth, his conduct, his behavior among them. And we see how Christ was able to love the unlovable, to love those who hated him, and those who rejected him. But he also cared for them. It didn't change him in his conduct and his behavior. He also continued to manifest who God was before them. He didn't change up. He was consistent in all he is. And so when people begin to see Christ in his conduct and how he expressed himself, they were able to see God through that. Christ was making God known through that. And also Christ was making God known through his works. John chapter 14:11 speaks of it. John chapter 20, verse 30-31, it's kind of like the summary of the reason why John wrote the gospel. He said that people will see the sign that Jesus has performed, the sign that he performed, and to come to conclude that he is God by the works that he's done. But think about the works that Christ has done to show that he is God, that he's making God known to mankind. We think about when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, when it was in a storm. Christ had control over nature. He had control over physical elements in his world. You know, that's the power of God. You see, Christ being a giver of life when Lazarus died, and Christ rose him from the dead, right? That only God can do things like that. He's the giver of life, right? You know, and God can also take life as well. That he won't control the creation of life, right? We see Christ as a divine healer, that only things that God can do. Heal the man with leprosy, heal the blind, heal the deaf, Hear to me. Well, that's the devil as well, right? We've seen Christ perform so many miraculous miracles, free people of demon possessions, they're possessed by demons, right? We've seen Christ do so many things, even feeding the 5,000. You know, well, buy a little bread and do this, right? He made a multiplied and feast the meaning, right? Those are acts of God. Someone who is God. That's how Christ has made himself known. And for us who have come into that relationship with Christ, which will highlight my next point here, is that mankind come to know God through Jesus Christ by faith and how he revealed himself in Scripture. For those of us who have come into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus has now provided us a direct access to God. But those of us, and I think in Ephesians speaks, that those of outside the commonwealth of God with no hope in this world, right? Christ became sin for us. He died. He took upon the sin of mankind. He died on the cross. He began to close that gap between us and God, sin. And he closed it. And he made a bridge that now we can come before the Father. We now have access and direct relationship with God. We can come and pray to God. We can come and seek God for help in our time of need. We can come seek God for provision. We can seek God for our healing. All the things that we didn't have with God beforehand, we now have through Jesus Christ. So now we can see God from a spiritual perspective. We can engage and talk with God. We begin to interact with God. We can begin to see God more clearly than we ever seen before. Because of Christ, this is that Christ has made God known to us, that now we can have an intimacy with him that we didn't have before. That is the beauty that Christ gives us, and that he become before God. He's our mediator, and now we have that direction of God. And to me, that is awesome. To now that I can have this conversation with this holy God. You know, God can speak to me. God can talk with me in a small, still voice. God can comfort me. I come to know this intimate God that, you know, that Christ had with God, this relationship that Christ had with God. I now have that relationship, that we all have that relationship with God. God, Christ has now made that God that we didn't know, and mankind who was in sin, trying to find our way in this world. Now we have that direct relationship with him. And now we can make God known to people too. Through Jesus, we can make those same people who are just like us, who are out there. Especially in this climate today, that people are seeking help, that are in dire situations because of COVID-19, because of these wildfires, right? We can be that conduit between them and Jesus, but also when they get to Jesus, you can now direct it to God. And now they can have exactly what we have. But in closing, here are other ways that God, the Christ that made God known or revealed or explained God to mankind. Christ revealed God through peace, by making peace between God and mankind. You can just read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. And also Christ revealed God through authority in John 5, 27. Christ also revealed God through being eternal, John 5, 26. And Christ revealed God through glory, John 1, 14. We kind of talked about that a couple weeks ago in a sermon in terms of how, you know, we are to be a reflection of God's love, that we are allowed to love one another. And also, Christ also made God known to man through good works, John 10 and 25. He revealed what God is like through his attributes and character, characteristics, and etc. Christ made God known to others. We use this example of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And he's making God known through this Messiah who was to come to bring deliverance for Israel. Not in terms of the military might, but in terms of restoring relationship between them and God. And you read in John 3, 27 and 30, and also in 5, 19 and 34. And lastly, Jesus made God known through his love for mankind, through propitiation for our sins, meaning that he appeased or satisfied, you know, God's wrath. That God's holiness for punishment of sin requires a sacrifice. And Christ became that for us. And so that is the beauty of Christ. That Christ made God fully known to mankind. That he's the only one that can make God known. Amen. God bless you. And now I turn it back over to Reverend Cliff and Pastor T.A. Amen. Since they haven't come on yet, I'm going to go ahead and continue. Here, you know what, Justin and sharing this passage of scripture, and the beauty and all that it is in terms of God, you know, I know we had a time of testimony time to where that we share what God has done for us, what God is working through. I think they're coming in now. There might be some technical difficulty, but I continue. You know, I am grateful that God is long-suffering with me and my life and how he's continued to show himself as being faithful. And I'm truly thankful for what God is doing in my life and how he's continued to carry me forward over all these years. And even in this time of uncertainties, that God continued to show himself faithful and continue to show him that he is the God who still sits on the throne, who's still in control of everything that exists in this world. Nothing's not beyond his grasp or his control or his eyes, that he sees all and he knows all, and that he has our best interests at heart. And for me, I can take solace in that God cares about me and that he still loves me. And so for me, that is my testimony I want to share with everyone, that God is faithful and that he loves us. Amen.